listened before. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about something I mentioned in time past, and only recently have I had a chance to exhaustively check it out. So often you see something in the Bible, and then you think of another thing in the Bible, and you say, well, there are two things that are similar, but before you can speak with certainty, you have to check out everything. And I believe that I've done that. So I'm going to read to you from 1 Timothy 4, and notice carefully what it says and how it says it. I'm reading from the 1901. It'll go a little different from yours, but just listen. But the Spirit says expressly that in later times some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Now the word devil is the word diabolos, that is correctly spoken only of Satan. There is only one devil, the devil. You have those that are his children. Thou son of the devil, Elymas the sorcerer, was called the son of the devil. Judas was called a devil. But most of the time, the word is demon. So that's what it is here. And when I'm talking to you, it will be about demons. Now, it says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men that speak lies, branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron. Notice, doctrines of demons. Now, turn to 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Well, I'm going to talk to you tonight on doctrines of demons and demon theology. And it will be one of the most edifying messages you've heard in a long time. Beloved, verse 1, 1 John 4, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world already. And I have a question to ask you first of all. If you heard somebody talking to the Lord Jesus, suppose you heard Simon Peter talking to the Lord Jesus, or you heard a demon talking to the Lord Jesus, which one would you believe was saying the right thing to the Lord Jesus? Exactly. I didn't preach this whole sermon before that. If I did, you're going to get a review. But the remarkable thing is this. When I read to you, please notice, I'm talking about demon theology. Because it says, look at verse 1 again, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. This isn't the Spirit himself speaking, it is the Spirit speaking through whom? Exactly. You see, the prophet is speaking, but what makes him a false prophet? The demon that's inspiring him. In 1 Timothy 4, again, in the latter times, some shall fall away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of whom? Men, you see? So, whenever a man speaks inspired by a demon, he will deceive you. He will tell you a lie. But this was a revelation to me, and I'm challenging you, and we're going to see some of these things, that if you want a perfect, infallible theology concerning the person and work of Christ, concerning the life to come, you listen to demons when they spoke to Christ. Remarkable. The only infallible theology that you will find is when demons speak to Christ. Once they get in a person, a false prophet, then they will tell you a lie. But whenever they speak personally to Christ, they always tell the truth. From Satan to the others, and we're going to read it, because you say, well, like one sister said, I believe it because you said it. Do not believe it because I said it. Believe it because I show it to you. So let's turn to Mark chapter 1, first of all. And if your mind is working furiously and anything comes up when a demon or Satan speaks personally to Christ, understand, when he speaks personally to Christ, anything that's wrong, you tell me, and I'll take you to the Orleans house and pay for the bill, all right? Mark chapter 1, and I'll give you some examples now. Verse 21. And they go into Capernaum and straightway on the Sabbath day into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching because he taught them as having authority and not as the scribes. And straightway there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Tell me one thing that he said wrong. Absolutely nothing. And this is a slap in the face to all the liberal theologians who would say there are no demons, and the demons want them to believe that, and they are the ones who are inspiring these liberal theologians. But when these demons that inspire the theologians to speak lies, when they speak to Christ, they always speak the truth. And I'm going to show you why they are infallible concerning the person and work of Christ and things of the future. So, look now, let's see. Verse 124. What have we to do with thee? Do you understand? It's not just the man, but the demon in the man as well. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Now, where did Jesus live for some 30 years? Where? No. That was after 30 years. Of course he did. He went down to Nazareth. Other than that sojourn in Egypt to escape the wrath of the king, he came back and dwelt in Nazareth until he was 30 years of age. And then he went forth into public work and he went up to Capernaum. But when the Lord Jesus spoke to Paul in Acts chapter 26, Saul of Tarsus, when he heard that voice from heaven, said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And our Savior said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. The Lord Jesus said the same thing that the demon said. Now think, Jesus, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is the human name of the Lord Jesus. The name Jesus was never given to him until then, and what is so remarkable is that you will look throughout the entire Old Testament and never find out what the name of Jesus was going to be personally that he was called until the angel came and announced it. You find his name Emmanuel, God with us, like that. But nobody knew. As it says in the book of Proverbs, tell me, what is God's name? And what is his son's name? And nobody ever knew. But the angel said, I shall call his name Jesus. And the demons are familiar with Jesus. Now, when they teach concerning Jesus, it says in 1 John 4, they deny that Jesus Christ comes in the flesh. But when they see him, what do they say? You are Jesus of Nazareth. You are on earth, and you come in the flesh. So they believe in the humanity of our Savior. They believe in the historicity of the Savior. There are some who tell you there's never been any man named Jesus. Somebody that the people at this time made up and just presented him, but there was never any person named Jesus. But they knew that there was a man named Jesus. They knew that he was a true man. They knew where he lived, that he was an historical figure. And so if you want to know about the Savior, whether Jesus has come in the flesh, listen to the demons. They will tell you who he is, what his name is. They will tell you where he resided. if they're in a false prophet, the false prophet will deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. But when they speak to Jesus, they'll say, Jesus of Nazareth. All right. They believe in the true humanity of Christ, as it says in John 1:14, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And where did he dwell? Why, Jesus dwelt in Nazareth. So, we're safe so far in what I told you. Notice what they say next. Art thou come to destroy us? Now, the mission of the Lord Jesus in coming to the world was at least twofold. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save whom? Sinners. Turn to 1 John 3. 1 John 3. And look at verse 7. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might do what? I say, destroy the works of the devil. And the demon said, are you come to do what to us? To destroy. Do they know why Jesus came? Of course they know that Jesus Christ came to save, and I'll show you why. The Savior, in Matthew 13, in Mark 4, and Luke 8, said, the sower went forth to sow, and when some of those seeds fell by the wayside, it says that as soon as they fall by the wayside, the birds of the heaven come and snatch that word out of their heart, that they might not believe and be what? Do they know why Jesus came for men? Of course they do. And they are trying to prevent his coming to save men. Do they know why Jesus came in turning demons? Of course they do. You come to do what? To destroy us. Understand this, that whenever a demon speaks to the Lord Jesus, he never cries, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And turn to Hebrews 2. I want you to see this, and I'll read it, the more correct translation, because what we have in the King James is an interpretation, but I'll show you that the demons know, and this is what it says, and that's why they say, art thou come to destroy us before the time. Hebrews chapter 2. For verily, verse 16, for verily, not to angels does he lay a hand on them to give them help, but he giveth help to the seed of Abraham. Nothing about taking on the nature of angels. The word is that he doesn't put his hand on an angel to give him help. You put your hand to support, as when Peter said, Lord, save me. And the Lord Jesus put forth his hand to help him. And so it says here, verily, he giveth not help to angels, but he giveth help to the seed of Abraham. And they know that perfectly. They know that the Lord Jesus has come to destroy them. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew 8. Look at verse 38. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with demons, coming forth out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man could pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, thou what? Oh, I say, thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? So what do they believe concerning the future, George?
That they're going to come.
Exactly. And just any time, or do they know that there is a set time?
There is a set time.
Of course. And they say, what is that to hear? Is the schedule broken down? Have you come to torment us before the time? So they know. And I won't have you to turn to this, but it says in Revelation chapter 12 that when the devil is cast down, he knows he has only a short time. They never cry to the Lord Jesus for mercy because they know that he didn't come to give them mercy. Every sinner can say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But no angel can ever appeal to the Lord Jesus for salvation. His death on the cross was not to pay them, but to destroy them. And they knew it. All right, turn now to Mark 1 again, because notice here, it says, of our come to torment us before the time, and it says in Mark, to destroy us. So let's look at that in Mark chapter 1 again. Art thou come hither to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Anything wrong with that? Jesus is the Holy One God. What did men say concerning him? That he was a sinner. He was a, of course, he was a blasphemer. And what did demons say about him, George?
Holy One of God. Cool.
Well, they said that he was the Holy One of God, that he is the Son of God, and the other time they address him, they say, thou Son of the Most High God. So are they correct in their theology concerning the person of Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the Holy One of God? Do you believe that he's the Son of the Most High God? Do you believe that he's the Son of God? Of course you do. And the demons believe as well. You say, well, that is a remarkable thing. Now, the liberal today will tell you that there is no hell and that there is no future punishment. Who will teach to the contrary? These demons. And they know about this place, the torment, because it says, art thou come to torment us before the time. And here, let me show you, I just tell you, instead of having you to torment, about torment and destroy us, but when the Lord Jesus is being spoken to by these demons, it says, the demons besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, send us away into the herd of swine. And they say also this. They say, do not command us to depart into the deep. You would think the deep is the ocean, you see. But the word deep, and this is what is startling, have you ever heard of the bottomless pit? The bottomless pit is the word deep. It's the word abyss. And they say, do not send us into the what? Abyss. Do you know where Satan's going to be chained for 1,000 years? Of course, they know exactly where the place of torment is. They know the name of it, and they don't want to be sent there now. All right. They acknowledge that all power is given unto the Lord Jesus in heaven and on earth, because they know that if he gives the word, they have to go to the abyss. And if he gives them permission to stay, that they do not have to go to the abyss. It is simply that they are pleading with him not to be tormented as yet. So keep that in mind. And concerning that, concerning the abyss, it says in Matthew chapter 25, in the coming day, the goat on the left hand of the Lord Jesus are going to be spoken to, depart you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for whom? They know all about it, you see. And in that place that they say, there's not going to be any torment, there's not going to be anything that's horror there, but the demons know that there is. And one other thing. In Luke 16, turn there just for a moment. I want you to see Luke 16. I'm not going to give you all the distinguishing features about the different places of incarceration of men and women for now. But look at verse 16:21. You remember, Lazarus desired to be fed with the crumbs that fall from his table, Luke 16:21, and it says, 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man died, and was buried. And himself he lifted up his eyes, being in what?
Torment.
And what does the demon say? Art thou come to do what? the same root word. They know that there is torment in the future. And so here is this name, and there are those who do not believe in a future place of judgment or a place of torment, but the Lord Jesus believes in it, and he uses the word torment, and the demons use the same root word that the Savior does. You say, well, this is a remarkable thing. All right, one other. Turn to Matthew 8. I want you to see this again. We'll have to look this time at, or I'll tell it to you for the sake of time. All right, it says this. There are three accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about this demoniac, the one whose name is called Legion. And it says that when Legion came and saw the Lord Jesus, it said he fell down and worshipped. Isn't that remarkable? He fell down and worshipped the Lord Jesus. Does anyone know the reference in Psalm 97 that's quoted in Hebrews chapter 1? It says, and let all the angels of God, what? Worship him. And so when the Lord Jesus comes, these demons fall down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what is so startling when you think of this. When they see the Lord Jesus, they recognize him. But concerning man, it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. It says none of the rulers of this world knew the Lord Jesus. If they had known him, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But every time a demon sees the Lord Jesus, immediately they knew him. When even Nathanael, that beautiful Israelite, indeed in whom was no guile in John 1, when he saw the Lord Jesus, he didn't know him. The Lord Jesus spoke to him and he said, here's an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said, how is it you know me? And the Lord Jesus said, before Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw thee. And then did he know him? Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. But the demons know him immediately. It said they saw him, and as he came near, they recognized who he was. And they ran and prostrated themselves at the feet of the Lord Jesus. That all the angels of God worshiped him. Now, here is something we should know about angels and demons and unclean spirits. They are not like man. When God created man, the first thing he said was, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God has never said that to angels because they are deathless. They're never going to die. And so, since they're never going to die, they never have to be replenished. And if I have read the scriptures correctly, God, just as he said, let the waters teem with fishes. And immediately it was teeming with fishes. I believe that God, with an utterance for all the angelic beings, came to existence at the same time. One of them is not able to say that he's any older than the other. Now, this, and this is a remarkable thing, in Job 38, Job is challenged by God. He says, where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? It means that all of these unfallen angelic beings, because at that time they were not fallen when he brought the universe into existence, all of these angelic beings were present, and when they saw God bring this universe into existence, it said they shouted for joy. Just as you and I, if we saw God perform an act of creation, we would prostrate ourselves, we would celebrate God, we would shout, and that's what they did. They sang for joy, they shouted for joy. And these fallen angels, and this is what is so heartbreaking, were there at that time. And then when Satan, Lucifer, rebelled, they followed him, and they're cast down to earth. And now they know that their maker if God manifests in the flesh, and when they see him, they acknowledge him and correctly designate him as the Holy One of God, the Son of the Most High God, and they fall down and worship him. Now, this is the theology of demons when they're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what have they said wrong and told us wrong so far? Absolutely nothing. They know about Christ, his person, his work. They know about heaven and hell. They know about creation. They know about the abyss. They know about the timetable of God. All of these things that they know and they acknowledge. Excuse me? Of course. Whenever he speaks, they have to do it. They do it with reluctance. When he said, come out, the Spirit carried, but he had to come out. And they have to go precisely where the Lord Jesus tells them to. They say, don't send us to the abyss. Let us go into the swine. They have to ask him for permission. And they go into the swine, and then the swine go down into the deep. So remember this. Whenever you read, I'll show you them, seraphim, angel, it makes no difference. They're all these invisible creatures with different designations. When you read of thrones, principalities, and powers, they're different designations of these invisible angelic beings. They're called angels. That means that they're messengers of God. But then, at times, they're called cherubim and seraphim according to their various activities, and they're called spirits. For instance, it says in Hebrews 1 concerning angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that shall inherit salvation? So these fallen angels were also at one time ministering spirits of God, worshiping God, beholding the works of God, and they are cast down. Now this, you will find in Revelation chapter 9 that some demons and unseen spirits are already in the abyss. I will show you that. Look there for a moment. Revelation chapter 9. And I told you the word deep. Do not send us into the deep. What I'm reading here is the same word in the Greek. Revelation 9:1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven fallen under the earth, and it was given to him the key of the pit of the abyss. This is the identical prayer that that evil spirit said, do not send us into the abyss. Because some of their followers are already in that abyss. And they opened the pit of the abyss, and they went up a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and so forth. And then it describes the activity of the demons when in a future day the pit is going to be opened, and they're going to be let out. But thank God, for Revelation 20, just look at that one moment, Revelation 20, there was a time when that pit is going to be opened, and you've heard of all hell breaking loose. This is an apt description of what takes place in Revelation 9. But it says in verse 1 of Revelation 20, and I saw an angel coming down out of heaven having the chain of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the abyss. Now, where did those demons say they didn't want to go? Into the abyss. There are already some there in Revelation 9, and in the coming day, Satan is going to be put there. And even though Satan has power, when God authorizes one of his angels, it's not even Michael. At times, Michael and Gabriel are contending with other angels. But notice here, it says in verse 1, an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the abyss. Satan only has as much power and the use of that power as God allows him to. And he says to one of his angels, go do this. And then Satan is not in a position to resist it. He stays there 1,000 years, and then he's ready to come out again. But thank God there is abyss. And eventually, after this abyss, it says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And finally, Matthew 25 is realized. The cross she cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And all of these demons are fallen angels. It's got another name given to these fallen angelic beings. Now, one other thing I want you to see. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. And verse 9. You remember that our Savior is driven with the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And look at verse 9. And the devil led him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee to guard thee. That's all I want to bring to your attention now. Here is Satan, and I will look at that for a moment. Here is another evil spirit, the greatest of the evil spirits, and he's talking to the Lord Jesus, but he is aware of the scripture that teaches angelic responsibility for the incarnate Son of God. He shall give his angels charge. He knows what the angels are to do. And after the Lord Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, who came and ministered to him? And when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, in agony, who came and strengthened him? An angel. Satan knows about this angelic responsibility to him. Now, you say, but here is a demon. And you said the demons always speak the truth concerning Christ. They say, if you are the Son of God. I told you this when I spoke on it in detail some months back. There are two ways to express it. There is aeons with a subjunctive, which means if conceivably, if such a thing was possible. But there is also ae with the indicative, which is assuming you are the Son of God. Now, which do you think Satan uses? Of course. That's the reason that the temptation has any power. If he isn't the Son of God, there's no need to tempt him, do you see? But he says, assuming you're the Son of God, can't you see? Now, this is a subtlety, the wildest. Can't you see that it's entirely out of place for you, the Son of God, or to be hungry? Command these stones that he turn into bread. If he isn't the Son of God, what ordinary man has any right to demand these things of God? But he knows that he is. The whole basis of his temptation is assuming the fact that he is the Son of God. And the whole game is given up when, at the last, he shows him all the kings of the world and the glory of them in a moment of time, and he says, If you'll fall down and worship me, I will give them to you. You see? Utter defeat. But the Savior remembered that the Father had said in Psalm 2, Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And Satan said to him, Ask me. And the Lord Jesus said, No, I will wait. And just as he told the demons to go into the swine, he cast them out. So, when the Lord Jesus is ready for Satan to end his temptations, he says, Get thee hence, Satan. And what does Satan do? He has to go. You see? Now, do you believe in demon theology?
Yes.
Have you found anything that they ever said wrong?
Mm-hmm.
But, as soon as a demon gets into a man, influences a man, they will speak lies, and they will do hellish acts. I'll tell you this for the sake of time. In John 13, at the Lord's Supper, it says, The devil, having put into the heart of Judas to betray the Lord Jesus, he put it in his heart. And none of the 11 knew that Satan had put it in his heart. And after the Lord Jesus gave Judas the sign, it says, Then Satan entered into him. And when he did, the Lord said, What you do? Do quickly. And he went out, and it was night. So, the Lord Jesus, the only time on earth that he ever had any difficulty with men and the creatures of darkness was in the garden when, finally, he understood. He said, Father, the hour has come. Finally, the Lord Jesus said in the garden, This is your hour. and the power of darkness. Take me. Before then, tell me one of them that has ever laid a hand on him a harm. Not one thing. And so finally, in the garden even, he said, whom do you seek? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. They went back and fell to the ground, and finally he said, come and take me. And so this is the power of the Lord Jesus. But he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. And the Lord Jesus gave himself unto them. So read again, and you check it out, because they may have been trying to get me to tell you something false. But I have never found one thing they have ever said that was incorrect concerning the person and work of Christ, concerning the future, concerning the mission of Christ, and you haven't heard anything from tonight so far either. So you keep looking. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that even the wrath of man and the wrath of Satan's host is called to praise him. We are glad that we have heard the truth come out of these lying spirits, because in the presence of him who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is light, they cannot but acknowledge their former creator, now God manifest in the flesh. Our Father, let us take these things to heart, and let us remember that we shall hear them speak again, not to Christ, but speak to false prophets, who shall speak to us, and they'll bring in damnable doctrine. They will be seducing spirits, and they will tell lies and deny everything that they said to the Lord Jesus. So let us be on guard. You have told us, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom withstand, whom resist, steadfast in the faith. So let us do that, Father. Let us not in these later times be those that depart from the faith, but let us be those that adhere to the faith as it's told by thy Spirit, and as involuntarily these evil spirits speak the truth concerning our Savior. Help us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yes.
When you find it in these buildings, and I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this.
Because his mission, he said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All of this, they know it. So just be thankful. But one other thing, if I were giving you a gospel message, I would tell you this. If sinners today believe that Christ came to destroy the devil, that he was the Son of God, that he was holy, but they would be saved. But these demons believe it, and they aren't saved. It says you believe that there is one God, the demons believe and do what? Tremble. There is a belief, an acceptance of it morally, and there is an acceptance of it factually. The enemies of Christ, in his day, that saw him perform the miracles, would they deny the miracles? They couldn't. They had to say, you do it by Beelzebub, but they never denied the miracles. But accepting the fact of the miracles and accepting the fact of these truths is not salvation. But when you embrace it morally as a needy sinner, then that does result in salvation. So that's all I'm going to tell you.